Blog Talk Radio. Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. And I'll be your host. By name, your seer, Israel, O.C. Royal. We're getting back with the series of Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, tape number 37, and we just got through completing the 8-day and retracking the 8th day of Yahuwah on the dedication. So we retract that all the way down for 8 days, but it's so much left to be teaching on, because he had to teach hard, long, because he understood what he had to lay the foundation down. And he made it plain that when he leaves, it's going to be a harder task, but it will be someone in every generation that will do greater things than once he did. And the only way you can recognize that is by the signs of the time. So we'll leave that like that. So we in tape number 37, and we're going to see who's going to be on stage to kind of participate in the nice episode. Tape number 37. Got a couple of memos we want to play, because one thing about it, it still go back to the setup the world has set up on you, children of Israel. And you got to figure out how to come up off Monday. But the only way you can come off Monday anything You have to know his word. His word straighten you up. And that's it. So let's see who's going to be on stage. And all we see on stage tonight is Mother Epa right now. So the cavalry's, I guess they're on their way a little bit later. So we'll just work with what we got. And we'll get what we can and get in. So let's see who's on stage. Mother E, Tribe of Yahda Judah. Yahweh bid you that say right here.
Yahweh bless you, Israel of Cedra. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother E, Israel, Cedra. Well, we on complete them 8 days, so we done our part. So we got us a James 5:20 in our purse and back pocket, so that's a good thing. And we know Mother Z, Israel, is getting prepared to hear something, to give a commentary on something. So that give me time-wise, while the best of them is not in the room right now, to play some of these memos about the name and get it on tape 37. And then, Mother, I think we're going to kind of run it off as long as we can at the time appointed. But we'll get warmed up on something that we have to talk about is his name. They have his name together, and we're going to play a little announcement about his name and see what they're saying about this powerful name.
Assume that it is the famous Tetragrammaton. So we really know nothing about this famous name. When Moses asks this individual what he is called, perhaps the Hebrew language did not exist. And so, when Moses asked this question to Yahweh, in what language was he pronounced this name? We don't know. He may have pronounced it in the Egyptian language. Or if Yahweh came from other civilizations, he might have said it in his own language. So we don't know anything. We don't know what language it was written in. We don't know how it was said. We don't know how it was pronounced. Why? Because it was written several centuries after it was pronounced. Because it was written without vowels. And vowels, they were inserted many centuries later, between the 6th and the 9th century after Christ. Time passed between when that name was written only with consonants and when the vowels were inserted. Have written many treatises on this name, and this happened precisely because its meaning is not known. No, the best thing is do not make translations. Don't know anything. We don't know what language it was written in. We don't know how it was said. We don't know how it was pronounced. Why? Because it was written several centuries after it was pronounced. Because it was written without vowels. And vowels, they were inserted many centuries later, between the 6th and the 9th century after Christ. A long time passed between when that name was written only with consonants and when the vowels were inserted. Thus have written many treatises on this name. And this happened precisely because its meaning is not known. Not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. In reality, we do not know what Yahweh means, and only like that. In reality, we do not know what Yahweh means, and then, since we do not know what Yahweh means, we do not translate it, because translating with Lord or translating with the Eternal really means, here we are sure, inventive translations. So, when in English we find Lord or the Eternal, we write what is written in Hebrew, Yahweh. So we respect the text.
And what it appears in the writing convention, the sound system of the host language, but it's come from somewhere else, and that's why suddenly you have this word that has no history, no root meaning. It is a foreign word that the people started using. I believe Yahweh is that kind of a word. Not a Hebrew word, not an Egyptian word, not a word in any of the languages known to Moses, a word from somewhere else entirely. There is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. There is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. Maybe there is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God, thinking of himself in the very next sentence. So the very next sentence begins, what kind of being is that? Maybe there is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. Tetragrammaton, these four letters. There's a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. In the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. In the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. There's a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. In the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. Four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. These four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. Four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. He's using this name Yahweh, and it's represented by these four letters, the Tetragrammaton. Now, Marrow very rightly says, we don't know how that was pronounced. The vowels came into Yahweh at a later stage. We just have the four consonants. So even though we can't be sure exactly how it was pronounced in the beginning, we do know what the four consonants were. And that tells us quite enough, in my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Now, when you put the vowels into the name, the H's almost disappear. It becomes Yahweh. In my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. YHWH. How almost disappear, it becomes Yahweh. But I'm going to put forward a little linguistic theory here, and it has to do with something called affrication. Affrication is play of stories. The consonants we have, how it was pronounced in the beginning, we do know what the four consonants were, and that tells us quite enough, in my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH, play of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Now, when you put the vowel as stories, the consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? As stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Now, when you put the vowels into the name, the H's almost disappear. It becomes Yahweh. But I'm going to put forward a little linguistic theory here, play of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Play of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Play of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Play of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Play of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? H-W-H. How were they pronounced? How it was pronounced in the beginning, we do know what the four consonants were, and that tells us quite enough, in my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are Y-H-W-H. How were they pronounced? Now, when you put the vowels into the name, the H's almost disappear. It becomes Yahweh. But I'm going to put forward a little linguistic theory here, and that is the story of the H in Yahweh. Because with the vowels in, they're almost silent. But if you go to Proto-Northwest Semitic, which is an ancestor of Hebrew, the H sound was voiced quite differently. The H in Yahweh. Because with the vowels in, they're almost silent. But if you go to Proto-Northwest Semitic, which is an ancestor of Hebrew, the H sound was voiced quite differently. That's why I believe the Tetragrammaton is actually a clue that places the biblical story in a much wider context, makes it part of a much bigger story about the history of our planet, the history of the human race, and the history of our God concepts. Why I believe the Tetragrammaton is actually a clue that places the biblical story in a much wider context, makes it part of a much bigger story about the history of our planet, the history of the human race, and the history of our God concepts.
Four letters sound like this. Yud, Hey, Vav, the modern Hebrew, or Wa in the ancient Hebrew, and then Hey. Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh is also the forgotten name of God, which Jewish scholars and researchers say has a meaning and a pronunciation that was lost because their ancestors have refused to speak it aloud since about a generation before the Roman destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Today, Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh is most often rendered as Yahweh when written or spoken by Christians and others. It is still never pronounced aloud by Orthodox Jews. The pronunciation Jehovah is an older, less accurate rendition of these letters. It originated with the early German translators of the Hebrew language and their sounds, thus the more pronunciation that was lost because their ancestors have refused to speak it aloud since about a generation before the Roman destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Today, Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh is most often rendered as Yahweh when written or spoken by Christians and others. It is still never pronounced aloud by Orthodox Jews. The pronunciation Jehovah is an older, less accurate rendition of these letters. It originated with the early German translators of the Hebrew language and their sounds, thus the more Germanic sound of Jehovah. Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh.
Why, when you, as a Christian, see these words, they should set alarm bells ringing. These words do not appear anywhere in the New Testament. There is no form of them in the New Testament in the original writings in Greek. Yet, these days, the words are sometimes found in worship songs. They pop up in sermons that should concern you. They aren't New Testament words. They aren't words that were part of any expression of Christianity until recently. Where do the words come from? YHWH, and then a made-up word, made by adding invented vowel sounds and coming up with Yahweh. Where do the words come from? YHWH, and then a made-up word, made by adding invented vowel sounds and coming up with Yahweh. Sincere but misguided believers have latched on to this word until recently. Where do the words come from? YHWH, and then a made-up word, made by adding invented vowel sounds and coming up with Yahweh. The Yahweh business is nonsense. Let's learn from the history of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They turned the Hebrew letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh into English letter equivalents, J-H-V-H, and then added made-up vowel sounds and came up with the word Jehovah. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't deny Jesus. It's not helpful to make the same mistake, to take the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and use other alternative English letter equivalents, YHWH, and then add made-up vowel sounds and come up with a new word, Yahweh. It's not helpful to make the same mistake, to take the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and use other alternative English letter equivalents, YHWH, and then add made-up vowel sounds and come up with a new word, Yahweh. Surely we don't need another Yahweh sect. 27 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The Lord is to build a house, the household of God. If anyone else builds or attempts to build that house, their efforts are futile. They are wasting their time. Their work will be undone. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. That's how it's been translated in many English Bibles. Here it is in the original Hebrew. It's this word, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, that's translated as the Lord. It needs to be crystal clear in every believer's mind.
It appears in the Hebrew text, and it is still readily known in Judaism and the Jewish world. And this name is comprised of four letters. In Greek, it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew, it's called Arba Othiyot, and it means the four-letter name. And the four Greek, it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew, it's called Arba Othiyot, and it means in Greek, it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew, it's called Arba Othiyot, and it means in Greek, it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew, it's called Arba Othiyot, and it means the four-letter name. In Greek, it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Greek, it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew, it's called Arba Othiyot in Judaism and the Jewish world. And this name is comprised of four letters. In Greek, it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew, it's called Arba Othiyot. It means the four four-letter name. And the four letters of the name are Yod, He, Waw, He. Some may pronounce it Yod, He, Vav, He. However, Yod, He, Waw, He is the most ancient form of the pronunciation of these letters. And in English, it's often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, and in English, it's often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God, James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. You'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. And that is really important, because the Lord implies, you know, something, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great who, often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. You'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. And that is really important, because the Lord implies, you know, something, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great is the personal revelation, ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. Ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. Ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great who. Who is the Almighty? He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned in the world forever. And again, when you look in the scriptures, you'll see he is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned in the world forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned in the world forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned in the world forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned in the world forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned in the world forever. And again, when you look in the scriptures, you'll see in your English versions, YHWH, those four letters represent the consonants of Yod, He, Waw, He. You even kind of hear that. The Yod starts with a Y, the He starts with an H, the Waw starts with a W, and the final He starts with, again, the H sound. In English, so YHWH, or as some people say, YHVH. However, again, this is the revelation of the four-letter name. It is often said to be Shem HaMifarash, and that means the name which is...
Well, yeah, that's pretty good information for those that is unlearned. But authors of a true Israelite, you know, sooner or later, all gonna know his name.
All right there, Mother Eve, we got enough on the table, because Almighty want all to know his name there, Mother. So we got a little time before the rest of the crew get in a few more minutes. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll kick around his name a little bit, because all the big scholars know one thing, that when we come on the network, we always put the name on the table, because we know the name. They can't figure out the name, because given to them to have the name. So, Mother, I tell you what we'll do. You know, the young lion, I don't know if he's going to participate, because he's still down upon the weather. We'll find out if the young lion ready to holler in that microphone or just want to listen. Let's find out from the young lion how he stands and how is his health doing anyway. So, young lion, if you got the strength to come to that microphone, let us know if you want to be all ears or you want to participate in how your health doing there, young lion. So the young lion is down right now. I don't know. He might be perked up. We don't know. We'll find out in a minute. Brother Makai is Ray out of God Judah. Yahweh bless you, see Ray.
Yahweh bless you there, Sir Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, there, young man. Well, we know we're done we have to do. But like I said, again, that's behind us like the rearview mirrors. So how is your health there, young man? The mother's concerned. Everybody want to know about the young lion, that young growling lion. How's your health there, young lion? Come on.
I just thank Yahweh. He always gives us the strength. Young lion ready to rock and roll. I'm going to do my part there. I thank you all for your praise and your thoughts. And I'm ready to roll, sir. I'm ready to roll. Wife took good care of me while I was in here, too. So I'm ready to roll.
You hear that, Mother E, Mother Z? Hey, Mother E, Mother Z. You hear that young lion roaring? Did y'all hear him roaring? Come on. You hear him roaring?
Hallelujah.
That's what we're talking about. Okay, well, the young lion, he ready to do some roaring, so why not let him look down and see if he find Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if the young lion do a little roaring. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse number 12, verse 12 read, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same mouth what you are to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. And we got a lot of memo, but we did kind of play some of the big dignitaries. They said they don't know about the name of the four letters, but we know, we clear that his name is not the Lord. That's what they say. They say his name is not the Lord, his name is not God. They know it's the four letters, but we don't know how to pronounce it. They said by the time they got their hand on it, they had them add the vowel points in it, and they come up with a fictitious name called Yahweh. Because the Bible was given to a specific people there, and we're going to take a look at it and see who was this Bible given to. They're supposed to be able to talk this talk from the get-go. We'll open up and let old Mother E see what it says in Mark 4, 9 through 11, Mother E. And young lion, see, can you find me Isaiah 55, 1 through 11, and have me Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 29. Mother E, let's see what it says. Whatever we just said, I hope you wrote it down. It don't slip my mind now. You're on the clock there, Mother E. Come on. Whatever I said, come on with it.
The book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Verse 9.
Okay.
And he said unto them, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of Yahweh. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
So, Mother, the reason why the big dignitaries, the sinners of Esau, translated the white man and the white woman and the other nation, the reason they don't know about the mystery name, because it wasn't given to them unless they hear it through us. Is that a good enough fact there, Mother E?
If that's what it says. It is the mystery.
It is not given to them, the mystery. So they will not know it. But see, if they come clean, Mother, since they is the one in power today, but if they come clean, they have to say, the ones he gave it to, not us. And see, they don't want to open up that can of whoop behind. So they got to hold on to that as long as they can and try to figure this thing out. So, Mother, David said something in 147, verse 19 and 20. Can you help those see out what did David say in 1000 B.C. that the mental spirit brought down to him? What did he say, Mother E., in 147, 19 and 20? What did he say come out?
Okay. The book of Psalms, 147. 19 and 20. Okay. The book of Psalms, 147. Oh, boy. 19 and 20. 47. 19 and 20. Verse 19. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. Verse 20. He had not dealt so with any nation as for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise ye to Yahweh.
Oh, so the reason they don't know his name, Mother, so it just answered it in 1000 B.C. because it wasn't given to them to know his name. So as a leaving breadcrumbs to the bigger picture, the reason they don't know his name because it wasn't given to them to know the name.
Right.
When they start coming on one point, sooner or later, clean on other points, like leaving breadcrumbs. They saying it plainly. We don't know what his name is, but we know his name is not Yahweh, because he said we put them vials in between the 6th and the 9th century. So we did that. And we just pronounce the name Yahweh, but we know that's not his name. That's a fictitious name. But that's all we got. So sooner or later, they're going to have to come clean about who is who and who is not. So, Mother, give me one more. Give me Amos 3, 1, 2, and verse 7. And then we're going to swing to that young lion and hear him roar a little bit. So give me Amos 3, 1, and verse 7. Let's say in chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and verse 7.
Amos chapter 3, 1, 2, and verse 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 7. Verse 1, hear this word that the Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquitous sin. Verse 7. Surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant, the seer.
Uh-huh. So we follow the breadcrumbs, Mother. They really made a confession. We not the peoples of the book, because we don't know his name. We trying to figure out his name. But if the people already know his name and got no problem in pronouncing it, that's a sixth anointed council of voices of a true Israelite. So sooner or later, all these breadcrumbs is going to be pressed together and a broader picture will be revealed through the voices of the true Israelites. So all you have to do is sit back and keep on organizing up under the YHWH, and the whole world going to come clean. So we're going to be on the what's called the front of it, and those going to recognize that, well, we got no choice but to get under the voices of the true Israelites, the six anointed camps. So it's going to happen, Mother. All our things is on leading by example and letting the world know the man got one name, four letters. And the reason why they don't know these things is because they don't know what's written that we getting ready to read out of the book Isaiah, their young lion Micaiah. What it said we can read in Isaiah 55, we'll read a little bit before we jump down a little further. I don't want to go all the way down. Just read enough, maybe around about 1 and 2. Let's see what the 55th chapter of Isaiah say. What do 1 and 2 say there? Young Micaiah, roaring lion out of camp 1, you on the clock, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, you to the water. And he that hath no money, come you, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 2. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness."
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good there, young lion. So he acting, he prophesizing on those that spend their money for that which is not bread. Now, we have to deal with that because we'll be picking something in the grocery store that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we know nothing untied, at least once, to have it in writing. The bread he's talking about is not the bread that you go and pay money for.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to precept mine and find out what is he saying by doing a little precepting by going to the book of Sirach 15:1-3. But we're going to precept that, young man. See, we're going to have to, like I said yesterday in class, we come to teach not for our flesh,
mm-hmm.
ourselves by those that's around the world, because that's what it's all about. We have to get them right, because they spend their money for that was not bread on every day besides the day of the day of the Bible. So we got to reach them, not trying to reach ourselves. And when we find ourselves with any kind of dispute, we're supposed to give one of the members a little look and say, "Let's go into the gold room and let us deal with whatever on our minds, because our mind is to get those all over the world on the right track. It ain't about our flesh. It ain't about our people. But we have to be clear to say, hold on a minute. Let's, me and you, step out in the gold room and let the class continue, because this is a bigger picture that we got to do." That's when we know when we own something. We know we own something. So now we're going to run this down and see what's going on about why spend that money, but that was not bread, by precepting that to 15:1-3. What did you say there, young lion?
The book of Sirach, chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, "He that fear the Yahuwah will do good, and he that hath the knowledge of the law shall obtain her." Verse 2, And as a mother, shall she meet him and receive him as a wife married of a virgin. Verse 3. With the bread of understanding shall she feed him and give him the water of wisdom to drink.
What is this bread again? According to the
bread,
standard, what is this bread?
Bread of understanding.
The bread of understanding. And Mother E, the bread of understanding. That's the bread we have to do to those all around the world. Get them the bread of understanding. Not the kind of bread you go and just get you, how much bread? Loaf call about $5 or $6 now? Depends.
Mm-hmm.
No, we ain't talking about, no. We talking about the bread of understanding. See, that's
mm-hmm.
what we got to do. Five, we got to organize the 12 in every camp. But whenever you understand one thing, when we on the air, we are on the air. Every
mm-hmm.
nation is listening. So we have to be clear. If we got any kind of disagreement, step back into the go room and straighten it out and stay on one accord and look at the bigger picture we got to do. So now, the Almighty Son, he the one told the seers all about that. Now he got to come in the flesh. So now he ain't come in the body. And let's see what he said once he came in the body in Matthew 15, verse 21 through 29. We're going to analyze what's going on. We're looking at the book of Matthew, young man, verse 21 down to verse 29. See what we can come up with during the clock come out.
Oh, it's the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21 down to verse 29. Verse 21 reads, then Yahweh the Son went there and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Yahweh, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Yahweh, help me. 26. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. 27. And she said, truth, Yahweh. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. 28. Then Yahweh the Son answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahweh the Son departed. And Yahweh the Son departed from there, and came down to the Sea of Galilee, and went up unto a mountain, and sat down there.
You see that? So everybody understood the order of things, but what
mm-hmm.
she was healed by faith. She believed that he could take care of his business. So he said, "Oh woman, great is your faith." The sinners of ham. Great is your faith. He said, be it done unto thee. Because when you talk right, you get the right result. But he said, but it's not right to take the children's bread. The children's bread is his words. See, he came to give the children some bread. And now we're going to find out what bread he came to give them. We clear. It is the word. Now you see that? So you see, and that's why the world cannot figure out. They can't figure out, well, what is his name or what the program, because it wasn't given to you to figure it out
mm-hmm.
what the program is.
it's for us to understand our position, and then Yahuwah will intervene. Let's get a couple more in on that understanding there, young lion. Mm-hmm. Let's run back to the wise man of the world in 12 verse 11. And what did he say in 12 verse 11 of Proverbs? Young lion, Brother Micaiah. What did he say in 12 verse number 11?
We're going over to the book of Proverbs. We'll pick it up at chapter 12. We want to read verse number 11. The book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, "He that tilleth his hand should be satisfied with bread, but he that follows vain purpose is void of understanding."
Is it? So what do you mean by he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread? See, and that's what we talked about on all the broadcasts. We got land we're looking at in four directions, and we got to tilt our own bread and get in them gardens and make something happen. Because Yahuwah is going to do a great thing with this ministry, but it's all based on one thing, roll your sleeves up and get in order according to his word. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 15, 16, young line, what did I say we can read? Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16.
All right. Going over, sliding down a couple books down, few books down to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. We're going to pick it up at verse number 16. The book of Jeremiah.
Well, make it Jeremiah. Hey, hold on there, young line. Make it Jeremiah. Make it Jeremiah. Chapter 15, 16. We can give a little something out of Nehemiah, but right now, let's try Jeremiah. Chapter 15, verse 16.
The book of Jeremiah. Chapter 15, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, "Your words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my mind. For I am called by your name."
Mm-hmm. So we find out that you eat the word, the bread is the word, and Ephesians 5:26, we say about get the understanding by this water, and this water in Ephesians 5:26 is what? So all these is the parables that Mother read in that Mark 9, whatever it was, 4, 9 through 11. So all these words is parables. So what you getting ready to read there, young lion?
We're going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 26. Verse 26 reads, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word."
So when you read by the seer, all they done was piggyback off of what the seer said. Read one more time that young line, Sirach 15:3. So now you see, that's how you know when you own something. Always piggyback on what's that already have been said, and you won't go wrong. You won't leave no room for gainsayers. Sirach 15:3, come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 15, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, "With the bread of understanding shall she feed him, and give him the water of wisdom to drink."
You see that? That's a game changer right there. When you know how to preach the Bible, you ain't got to talk a good game when you know the man that bless you. All you got to do is the right thing, then he'll give you a 334 of St. John there, young man. See, you'll know when you're on combat. You know, out in the field, you'll know if you a 334 or not. What does it say that we can read in 334 of St. John?
Going over to the book of St. John, you want to read chapter 3, you want to pick it up at verse number 34. The book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 34 reads, "For he whom Yahuwah has sent speaketh the words of Yahuwah. For Yahuwah giveth not the spirit by measure unto him."
You see that? See, if you of Yahuwah, you'll speak the words of Yahuwah. In that very same hour, he have you take care of his business according to you being working properly according to the Bible. Now, when you're working like that, that's when you can tell when you own, when you own something. When you're out there in, on combat, out there in the field, and something come up, you both automatically, you let them bump their gums, and then you say, okay, well, hold on just a minute, and take a look at this verse right here, see? Because that very same hour he'll give to you, and that's why they trying to figure out all the big dignitaries, what is his name? We don't know. All we know one thing, the name that was given to Moses had four letters to it, four vowels. We don't know how to pronounce it. We don't know nothing about it. Guess what? Here's the people, descendants of Moses is here today, can break down that name with no problem and drink a little herbal tea at the same time. Called Voices of the True Israelites. All right, good enough. We're going to bring our elder in, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast, and then we'll pick back up. And that was a nice little tidbit we put on the table. So now we're going to see if we bring our elder in and tell you all about tape number 37 and who brings this broadcast. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, "Our elder, Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah bit you, see you right here."
And Yahuwah bless you, see you, Israel, and see you, bro. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, well, we played a little tape where the big dignitary said, but we don't know the name. And all we know is the four letters, the continents, four letters. We don't know how they pronounce the name. By the time we got it, it had vowels in it. It's a corrupt word called Yahweh. So, but soon later, they're all going to be logged in to the six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelite, and they're going to follow our lead and learn how to get the true salvation by following the leaders of Voices of the True Israelite. So, Ella, what do you got to tell this national audience, over 700,000 strong on the international side? Take your time. You're on the clock. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahuwah bless you. See you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into the nice broadcast. And as everyone can see, I'm a bit late attending. And for good due reason. Because, as you know, I always say it's a pleasure to be among hundreds of thousands of people that want to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And it's true. That's a good thing. But earlier today, a quick experience, I had spoke with two preachers over the phone and had put them at almost standby in the conversation. They requested if they would mind visiting our church. I said, okay. So it was kind of early in the afternoon. I went. When I get there, what was on the front door? What the seer mentions all the time. I almost started not to walk in. Something about the Latter-day Saints, the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Now, we hear about that all the time. I'm walking into this blind, look like I'm going to be gunshot when I walk in. But they greeted me. I walked in. We went to a conference room and started to talk. We began to do what it says in the Bible, rehearse the righteous act. But they were wrong on seven different events. Now, being taught by the voices of the true Israelites, I was able to stand strong and tell them, okay, look in the book at this particular scripture. It says this right here, what we're talking about. Several times I corrected. It appeared to me I was their teacher. Now, that embarrassed me to think like that. But after later talking with someone from our ministry, I learned we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts. We're given the knowledge to stand a bit beyond those that camouflage their confused teachings. And actually, they mean right, but, you know, just confused. And teaching that confusion to others. But by knowing the Bible teaches and the precepts, we're given that knowledge far beyond them. You have no way to compare that until you get in the field, like we see yourselves. And when you get in the field, you can rehearse that righteous act, and the scriptures will come to you. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark teachings and bad times and people that study in Christianity. You're welcome and thank you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. It comes to you live and open to you always about new and exciting topics in the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahuwah's Word. Learning how to connect the books, which is a good thing. Your health, foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath day. We do all this because you have not. It's information you came to seek. And you found that what you have now sought from the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. Open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on normal days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, however, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That time starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and online class from 2 to 5 until the temple members decide to join. We also have a website address. Use this on any search engine in the tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yada. And, well, from there, you'll be right on the right road to understand. We also have a website address. To use this on the search engine, enter tribeyada.com once again. And when you click enter, you will see some choices, and one will be PayPal. Follow those instructions. On any other device, you might see menu, but after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings in doing so. Remember what we're told in the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, verse number 8. 7 tells us, give unto the Yahuwah when you tend to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that we're doing this to remember that Yahuwah loves the cheerful gift. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. Give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the Book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the Book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing the Thus Says Yahuwah line. Also for building the school, which I found out today from experience, is very well a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods. We continue to speak up on this program. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Calendar will help keep you in mind with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live feast is available during live broadcast time. It's in the three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click in, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Bible.com. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses. First is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topic. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 600 accounts. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As I said before, you will hear a discouraging click followed by a doubt. Also, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive a prompt. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's pretty busy with the WCC, that New York station stockholder, Mr. Sigarman, and Hounsing Million the Most. And even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. And saying that name, I know what he means. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear a description click followed by a dial tone. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, catch the entire show today after 10:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Doc Rock Radio Live. And click enter, look for Voices of the Trizoids, Drivers like them. Choose the program that you would like to listen to or any previous day that you would like to listen. So we can start to listen to those words. Let's pass the program back to our seer Israel.
Yeah, right there, Elder. Excellent. So we're going to get back to the broadcast, and that's excellent, Elder. But the Latter-day Saints, is, you know, that's why I say this broadcast is to reveal the mysteries. And the mysteries, to edify the masses. If we come on this broadcast, is to edify the masses. And matter of fact, let's take a look at this word called Latter-day the Saints. The Latter-day Saints. Let's see what the Bible supports on this word called the Saints. The Latter-day Saints, that means the ones that in the latter days you can consider. The latter days. I mean today. Latter day mean today and beyond. Well, a mother Eve. Let's find out what do the Bible support about the saints. Let's go to Psalm chapter 50, verse 7 to 9. Let's see, can we take a look at this word called the saints? And see what do the Bible says about this name. Mother Eve, Psalm chapter 50, verse number 5 down to verse 7. Let's see what that say about this word called the saints. Come on.
Psalm chapter 50, verse 5 to 7. Verse 5 reads, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Yahweh is judge himself, the law. Verse 7, hear, O my people, and I will see, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Yahweh, even your Yahweh.
Well, so mother, when you read, matter of fact, read that again, and this is the mental spirit is dealing with the saints. But it was told to David on a prophecy to do what in 50 verse 5? Read that again, Aunt Mother. What was it said in 50, verse 5?
Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Oh. So he made up a stipulation, Aunt Mother, on the saints that he wanted to be gathered to him. That means you got to do something. You just can't sit there and cross the feet and put your hands up on the rear end and just sit there. You got to be a
saint of the Almighty, you got, help me out there, Mother E, I think you're on something. So according to 50 verse 5, to become a saint, what do you got to do according to 50 verse 5?
You got to make a covenant with me by sacrifice.
And who he tell that to in verse 7? And who did he say, the mental spirit told David to make sure this be informed, and who ears to tell them to be a saint of the Most High? You got to sacrifice. You got to make a sacrifice. So in verse 7, can you put a name on who is he talking to in 1000 B.C. on how to become a saint? That means you got to sacrifice something. Verse 7, who are you talking to, Mother? Come on.
Verse 7, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Yahweh, even your Yahweh.
Oh, so, Mother, the saints of the Bible have a name according to verse 7, and can you inform this national audience the saints do have a name that was brought down from heaven? According to verse 7, what is their name?
Oh, Israel.
You see, so now when the elder was in the presence of a modern-day saint, I wonder how many times did they bring up, Old Israel is above the... I wonder how many times I sure would like to be in what's called a fly on the wall when they introduced themselves as modern-day saints, the latter-day saints. I wonder how many times did they put the name Israel on top of their conversation. I like to be a fly on the wall at the time that jumps off. Look at that. Latter-day Saints out of Utah saying, Seer, we might have to keep off that kind of speech. Well, what can I say? Mother, in 148, I got to give me a second witness. In 148 verse 14, can you read the way it's, where you see it, because it's going to balance itself out. I need a second witness in 148 verse 14. See, our job is to unlock the mysteries of the Bible. So when you, according to the, let's see if we can read in 148 verse 14. Psalms 148 verse 14.
Psalms 148 verse 14. He also exalted the horns of his people, the praises of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise be Yahweh.
And not only, he said not only that, he said the saints, children of Israel, a people that is near to him. So Mother, I got one question for you. If the children of Israel is nearer to him, what that make other nations and to come to that? If we near, then where they at, according to that verse?
They not of him.
Excellent, Mother Z. Excellent. You, they mean they far from Yahweh. Exactly. F-A-R. They are far from east meeting the west. If we near, that means they far. So all of the other nations is far from Yahweh on being a saint. There's it there. He said the people of Israel is near to him and praise behind it. So if we is near to him, That means to all the other nations is far from being near. But that ain't going to work. On your line, that's going to be an excellent word, because if we near, that means they far. So, the Latter-day Saints, you is far from Yahweh, because he just said the children of Israel is near to him. So, that again, that mother, because I want to hear that one more time, because the only one can pull this off is you. And 148 verse 14. Come on.
Book of Psalms, 148 verse 14. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praises of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye, Yahweh.
So, mother, what people is near to Yahweh according to verse 119, verse number 48? What people is, 148, what people is near to him according to that verse? Verse 14. Yeah. According to 148:14, what people that we is near to him?
Israel.
The children of Israel.
Right.
So what is near to him, according to verse 14?
Okay, the children of Israel.
So what people is not near to him? If the children of Israel is near to him, then Brother Micaiah, what people are from him? Online? That's the whole say out. So what people is far from the old line? From the old, from far. The children of Israel is near to him in the opposite side of near to him is what, that young lion? Come on.
It's far from him. The 17 nations is far from him.
So, young boy, so they far from him. So they can call themselves the Latter-day Saints, WC World Council of Churches, or the Roman Catholic Church. But according to Yahweh, you far from him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're reading, verse 14?
Man, the only one that's near to him is the children of Israel, the Israelites.
And that's the message that the mental spirit brought down.
Hallelujah.
So I love to be a fly on the wall the next time the elders go and visit the modern day saints, the latter day saints, and ask the question, what is this word? Make you, by being a saint, that means you close to him. And if you not a saint, you're far from him. Do y'all agree on that? Yes, yes, yes. But who is he talking about? Hey, Mother E, in 149, verse 1 and 2, the same book, let me get a third witness on something. Psalm 149, 1 down to verse 6. Take your time there, Mother E. Let's see what we can get out of 149, 1.
Psalms 149, verses 1 to 6. Verse 1. Praise ye, Yahweh. Sing unto the Yahweh a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Verse 2. Let Israel
rejoice. Hold on, mother. He tells me the congregation of who?
The saints.
Well, hold on, man. We might do a little investigating on this congregation of the saints now, since we know that word saints is a word that is to the left of the true word Israel. So that word is covered up by the Israel. So, young lion, Brother Micaiah, I got to get a precept on that word. This mother brought in the congregation. I might well get a precept word on that. See, I'd love to be a fly the next time an old elder, our elder, go and communicate with the latter day, the modern day saints. I'd love to get me a precept on, since we proudly see that name called Latter Day Saints. Do you know what that word have replaced? See, that's the point. Mr. Big Dignitary, with a nice, smooth voice, do you know what the word saints, the word saint have replaced? Oh, no, I don't know. And we go to take a look at the congregation of the saints. Let's look at the and First Chronicles 28, verse 1 there, young line. All I need is two lines. And then we'll skip down to verse 8. Give me two lines because David is talking. Let's see what he says in First Chronicles 28, lines, what he say.
Okay. First Chronicles chapter 28. Going over to the book of First Chronicles. On chapter 28, we're going to read verse 1, a couple lines, and then drop down to verse 8. First Chronicles.
Well, we're going to make a little meal out of it. We're going to stop it. We're going to hit verse 4 and, you know, kind of put in a little twist arm a little bit. Just give me two lines in 28. Then skip down and give me verse 4.
Okay. The book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1 reads, "And David assembled all the princes of the children of Israel, the princes of the tribe, and the captain."
Good.
Verse 4.
Good. Yes.
Verse 4. "Howbeit, the Yahweh of Israel chose me before all the family of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Yahdajut to be root, and of the family of Yahdajut, the family of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5.
Well, hold on, young line. We ain't said nothing about no verse 5, period. But find out that David is to be king over all Israel. But I don't hear the word called saint. I don't hear the word saint. So we got to be clear about the word saint is replacement for Israel. Because Mother read in 149 that the whole congregation of the saints. Now, we should tie it all in verse number 7 and 8. Now, let's read 7 and 8. What does it say there, young line, verse 7 and 8?
Verse 7 and verse 8. First Chronicles 28, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 reads, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he be constant to do my law and my judgment at this day." Verse 8. "Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahweh, and the ordinances of Yahweh, keep and seek for all the laws of Yahweh, your Yahweh, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for yours children after you forever."
Well, so we find out when Mother read the congregation of the saints, but the entire word in that verse at 149 with that polluted word called the saint is really what in verse 8 there, young line, what is the whole word when you read the congregation? Mother read the congregation of the saints. So that word is supposed to be the congregation of Israel. But now we find out the congregation of Israel got a little bit more to it according to David in verse 8. But we can
get the whole word about the keepers of the book that is called in modern day time now the saints. They're going to hold what they really call according to scripture. Verse 8. Come on, young man. Give me the whole, give me this whole verse and take your time and bring your A game out. Come on.
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse number 8, verse 8 read. Now therefore, in the sight of all the Israel of, verse 8, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahuwah, and in the audience of our Yahuwah, keep and seek for all the laws of Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever.
My. So when we see this word and we see anywhere that is written like Latter-day Saints or the modern-day saints, we know that they are covering up the true name. It is supposed to be the children of Israel, which will be, it will be now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation YHWH. So that's the name that will be on the modern day and the latter day saints building. But then that'll bring our the children of Israel. The children of Israel. Big talk. So mother, let's go back to that 149, mother. Now give me 3 down to verse. Now give me verse 2 down to verse 6. I think you don't stumble up on something by us following the elderly. He say he walked in the place. He's all over the place. Latter-day Saints. But now you know the Latter-day Saints is covering up the whole congregation of Israel. So now we know something. I still got to be a fly on the wall when they ought to go back and visit him again. Mother, 149, verse 2 down to verse 6 says what?
Psalms, chapter 149, verses 1 to 6.
We'll read verse 2 there, Mother. We'll read 1. Give me verse 2 down to verse 6.
Okay. Psalms 149, verses 2 to 6. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of thy Judah be joyful in the king. That should be David. Okay. Let them, verse 3, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto him with the timbre and harps. Verse 4, for the Yahweh taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Verse 5, let the saints, the children of Israel, be joyful and honor. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Verse 6, let the high praises of Yahweh be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand.
For what reason? Keep reading, Mother. I mean, wait a minute, Mother. Now you stumble from, and the only one to pull this off is you. He telling, let the children of Israel praise the name of YHWH, and he said also have a two-headed sword in your hand. But what? What is they trying to tell us? That one day we will have a two. Read that verse again, Mother. Read that verse 6 again and read down a little bit more.
He says, praise the name. And not only that, he said, have a two. What did he say in verse 6 again, that mother? Help me out. Don't see him got happy. He know he don't got happy because he heard something. But make sure we hearing it right. What did verse 6 say again?
Psalm chapter 49, verse 6. Let the high praises of Yahweh be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand.
Oh, for what reason, Mother? Why do he want let the high praise of Yahweh be in their mouth? To the mission. And a two-edged sword in their hand. What reason do they supposed to have a two-edged sword in their hand, Mother? In verse 7 down to verse 9. Take your time there, Mother. You don't stumble up on something. And I know the national audience won't know why the lead tribe Judah supposed to praise the name of them four letters. And not only that, have a two-edged sword in their hand. What reason? 7 through 9, come on.
Okay, verse 7 through 9. Verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punish men upon the people.
Wait, hold on, Mo. Hold on. I don't got happy. Now, you said do what with this? You mean don't use it to cut no meat? You know, cut a little meat or something? Or, you know, go out there and trim a tree down with it? What is this two-edged sword in the children of Israel, the peoples of Yahweh's hand? For what reason in verse 7?
To execute vengeance upon the nation and punish men upon the people.
Well, Mo, you got to break that down for me. I mean, I know Osir is getting on up there. But now, can you help Osir out? What is he talking about? Before I do, let me see if this old elder still that way. Let me see if the elder there. Hey, elder Tills. Mr. Tills, what is this verse in 149, verse 7? Can you help Osir out? So maybe I'm not hearing the proper reading right. Hey, Elder, get those say out. What is it saying here in verse 7?
Okay, what book were you in? 149:7?
Psalms,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Let me read that in the book of Psalms. Let's see. We're looking at 149, verse number 7. All right, let me see. Now, 7 says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen nation and punishments upon the people. That sounds a little crucial.
So who is he telling this to? Elder? I mean, according to what we just got to read, he's talking to the congregation of the saints. And we went down the background work on the congregation of saints. That's the congregation of children of Israel of Yahweh. So can you help me out about who is this telling us to and who is he telling us to put this on? Can you help the whole thing out on verse 6 and 7 there, Elder? Help me out on verse 6 and 7.
On verse 6 and 7, 6 says, let the high places of Yahweh be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. The high places of Yahweh be in their mouth. So you speak the word that Yahweh tells you to speak, respectively, and let it be spoken with strength behind it. Not, you know, as a sword in your hand, but strength behind which we're speaking, Yahweh. and to execute vengeance on the heathen, that's the nation, and punishment upon the people.
So what's that mean?
So, well, it's not straightforward to put in straight words, but looking at you speaking straight about what Yahuwah has to say and that you've been taught in seriousness, you execute vengeance and punishment on those people of the nation.
Punishment on them? But what kind of way are you going to put punishment on them according to verse 7?
Siding with vengeance upon the whole nation.
And what you going to have in your hand in time to come in verse 6 to be doing all this with? What you going to have, a lollipop in your hand? What you going to have in your hand to do to complete this prophecy in verse 6? What are you going to put in the hands of the children of Israel in verse 6?
A two-edged sword, where the word will cut forward as it's cutting backwards.
I hear you, but watch Mother Yee read a little bit more in verse number 9. And I want you to kind of help those say out when Mother read verse 8. I want you to kind of help me out and break it down for this national audience after Mother read verse 8. What it say in verse 8, Mother?
Psalms chapter 49, verse 8. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron.
What that mean, Hill?
Oh, all the difficult questions is put on me. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron. Well, the nobles are the people that work for the king, you know.
And what that word means?
A lot of restrictions on them. The nobles is the people.
What that mean? Hey, Elder, what that mean about to bind their king? What that mean? To bind their kings. What that mean?
They're going to put restrictions on them.
But you gonna have in your hand.
Put on it.
But you gonna have a two-edged sword in your hand to do the binding with. So what's going on? Now in your hand, it's gonna be a two-edged sword in your hand, and this two-edged sword will do the binding the kings and their nobles. So what's going on? Now imagine you saying, look, take this two-edged sword and go over there and bind them kings and their peoples with a two-edged sword. So what is going to be going on? Now, he's going to give you a notepad and a pen. He said, I want you to go bind them with a two-edged sword in your hand and bind them and then put them in chains and their nobles in fetters of iron. But what you have in your hand is a two-edged sword. So what's going on there? Help me out with this picture. Hey, young man, help those see out with this picture here that me and the hill were looking at. We need a breakdown on what's going on in verse 7 and 8. Because he's sending the children of Judah with a sharp-edged sword. And to take that sword and bind their kings with chains and their nobles with the fetters of iron. So help to see out in the elder out what's going on in verse 7 and 8. Young lion, you on the clock, come up.
I know he's saying in verse 7 that he's saying he go execute his vengeance upon 17 nations. He's telling me he go punish them. So he's also letting know, he said, when he bind their kings, he said he's going to put some chains around their neck. He's going to be some iron. They're going to have chains around their neck. He said he's going to execute judgment upon them. So this thing going to come. This thing going to come from in the two-edged sword. It's going to come by this word of Yahuwah.
And so that sword is to make sure when you put them chain on them, they don't try to break a loose from it, huh? So if they break a loose, that sword is supposed to get you back in check, huh?
That sword is always going to keep you in your place. You know what that sword is.
So that was the prophecy that one day the children of Israel will be in this position, and Yahweh going to give them this right here. So now we got to precept that. Mother, read verse 9. So we got to precept this to see what is you saying? You're saying something here that is a mystery. But now we got to do the precept to find out a little bit more on this mystery of what he mean by, he says, children of Judah, put the two-edged sword in your hand. And they said, well, what reason, Yahuwah, to execute vengeance upon the 17 nations? Mm-hmm. And the punishment upon the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do that. To show them, take it to the king, their kings, and tell them, get in these changes. Wrap yourself up in them changes. And tell your nobles to do. And the fellows of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Be waving the sword at them, telling them, get up in them chains.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Hey, Mother,
then
what happened next in verse 9?
Verse 9. Execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all your saints. Praise ye to Yahweh, all the 12 tribes of Israel.
Wait a minute. You mean he said this? What he said? He said, this is what? In verse 9, Mother, he said, what he telling David, he said, you also, it is what, Mother, in verse 9?
Verse 9, to execute judgment.
Mm-hmm.
To execute upon them the judgment written.
Mm-hmm.
This honor have all his saints, the 12 tribes of Israel.
Oh, you left out two profound words, Mother. You said,
okay.
Look at verse 9, real kept about two words that he wasn't telling him nothing new. He was telling him something that we got to read him, Mother. And I don't want to pull this off as you. And you don't want to pull this off. So go ahead, take it down.
To execute judgment. To execute upon them. The judgment written. This
you mean judgment is written?
Hallelujah.
You
well.
Mean that what he
wants? Hallelujah. Well.
Written. David can remember that is already written that one day the execute upon them. The 17 nations, the judgment written. So you mean it's already written about a judgment of the 17 nations. So it's somewhere written. So I don't know if we're going to take care of it in this lesson, but we found out one thing is written about a judgment that is written to take care of. So it's written somewhere. I wonder where it's written at. Help me help out on where it's written all the time in advance about this whooping coming on the other nation. Where is it written at, Elder? Come on.
Well, when you start reading these verses from 6 to 9, it's talking about the strength of the word and the sword. I don't think you can imagine anybody going to a king with a sword, with as many people he's got behind him. So we look at possibly what it has to tell us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. And let's see what it says about that double-edged sword. And if I read that, it says, "For the word of Yahuwah is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing also of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart of mind."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is correct, but according to when you read, the messenger spirit is talking to David. He's talking, the Bible have a double meaning. In this case, it's talking about that mother. Mm-hmm. Come back and read a little bit more, because it's got a double meaning to it right here. And that's what we're doing right now, is give him the word. But he says it's going to come a time in 149, mother. Pick it back to the verse 5 again, mother. 5 down to verse number 8. I think it's got a little bit more of the double meaning to it, because they're hearing the word now, and he's saying that it's going to come a time in verse 5 down to verse 8. Hey, mother, eat. What
is
saying 5 down to verse 8 again?
The book of Psalms, chapter 149, verses 5 to 8. Verse 5. Let the saints, the 12 tribes of Israel, be joyful in honor. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of Yahweh be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the nations, the 17 nations, and punishment upon the people. Verse 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron.
So, it sounds to me, Elder, unless you are hearing a little bit different, it sounds to me that this word he's talking about, binding them, only they're going to be binding you. You're going to have to show them something that's got some killing flow to it, mm-hmm. that they want to jump on them changes and get their back beat a little bit. They're going to have to mm-hmm. want to do it. So you sure this talking about just the word only, hell. You should just talk about the word only, according to 5 down to verse 8. Say, hell, Mr. Stills.
Hallelujah, what?
So you sure this ain't got a double meaning, this right here, because you this is going to be in your hand. Your mouth's going to do some talking, but you also have something in your hand that's very sharp to make sure that whatever you say out your mouth, the world that they come in contact with listens. You know how sometimes when they come and say you get out that car, and you don't get out that car, and they start unbuckling that thing on the side of them. You know, if you don't get out the car through that horse, then that thing that they got on their side comes out and tell you, come out that car. So, I deal I'm talking about that, Elder. Come on.
That sounds to me.
I think the Elder talking about the Rock 21, verse 3.
What do Sirach 21, verse 3 say?
book of Sirach, chapter 21, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, all sin is as a two-edged sword. The wounds whereof cannot be healed.
Well, the book that we read is our sword.
Hey,
the words that we carry.
Yeah, it is the word that we carry, but I think, let me just read a little bit more. Hey, mother, in 150, can you read 1 through 6? Let's see what the ministry, he's talking to David, and what is he saying in 150, 1 down to verse 6?
Book of Psalms, chapter 150, verse 1 to 6. Verse 1, praise ye Yahweh. Praise Yahweh in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmness of his power. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Verse 3, praise him with the sound of trumpets. Praise him with the tuskens and harps. Verse 4. Praise him with the timbre and dance. Praise him with strange instruments and organs. Verse 5. Praise him upon the loud cymbal. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbal. Verse 6. Let everything that have breath, praise the Yahweh, praise you, the Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So he have no problem to let you know when it's an instrument time to praise him. But this is the instrument time where you use your hand to grab a object and praise him with the cymbals, the harps, and the. But this right over here, in verse number 5 down to verse 8 is another way that he wants to see some praises. So we plainly that he wants praising with some cymbals, trumpets, dancing. That's a praise too. But this right here is talking about the other sides of the praise he wants to see done. Let's look at it again, Mother, in verse 6 through verse 8. Read off 149, 6 to 8. I think 149, 6 to 8 is a different type of phrases than 150, 1 through 6. 150, 1 through 6 is when you're at the congregation and blowing them horns, doing your dance, and you're praising that way. But he's talking another praise that he going to stint in your hand, and we're going to get a precept by Brother Micaiah in Revelation chapter 3, 26 down to verse 29. Say again, Mother, 68. 149, 68.
Psalm 149, verse 6 to 8. Let the high praises of Yahweh be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand. Verse 2. Execute vengeance upon the nations, the 17 nations, and punishment upon the people. Verse 8. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron.
This side on the left side is talking give me a word. Somebody give me a word. On the left side is talking what kind of way? Somebody help me out. What kind of way? Hell, what kind of way is he talking on the left? We're talking a little bit different on the right side, but the left side is talking about what kind of way?
Mm-hmm.
me out there, young lion. What kind of way you come out on the left side?
I'm not understanding.
Young lion on the well, that's like Moses. He said, "I'll take care." He said, "Sit down for a minute, there, young lion. Let mother, let me take care. I'll take care. Go ahead, mother. Go ahead and break that down. What's going on the left side, in 149:68."
Verse 7 is saying, "Execute vengeance upon the nation." And it's again,
what's gonna do all that with, according to $5 states? What they gonna be used for this vengeance and this punishment on the people? What they gonna use their mouth or what in their hand? What they gonna be using, mother, to take care of this business?
A two-edged sword in their hand.
And what that mean?
That means that they're gonna be fighting with the nation, with the two-edged sword.
So,
they can have war with the nation.
Mhm. So the end time prophecy, young lion. Can you help those see out in 3:26-29? Let's see what John says in Revelation 3:26-29. What he said, that young lion, Brother Micaiah, come on.
The Book of Revelation, chapter 3:26-20. You say Revelation chapter 3.
Do 3 got 26 to 29, or do it 2 26 to 29?
2.
Well, probably won't
try 2.
Hey, still. Okay, I'm going to have to give you, I just had an emergency real quick, so I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to have to be going hold for a second.
Well, go on, take care of that emergency there, young lion. We'll let the elder read that Revelation chapter 2, 26. Hey, Elder, look at this. Look down at that Revelation 2, 26-29. You have to go see out. Hey, Elder. Mr. Tills, Revelation 2.
Okay.
29:29.
Revelation 2:26-29. 26 says, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations." 27. "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receiveth of my fathers." 28. "I will give him the morning star." 29. "He that has an ear, let him hear. But the Spirit saith unto the church."
Help me out there, Elder. What is he saying in 2:26-27? What is he telling John in end time prophecy? What is he saying? If you overcome it, what is he saying about overcoming? What are you gonna do if you do so? What is he saying?
As long as you keep the word of Yahweh and keep the works therein that he says, he will give power to you over the nations.
To do what? According to the, to do what with it? In verse 27.
To rule with the rod of iron.
What that mean?
Voice of strength. To rule with
mean?
The voice of strength. To rule with the voice of strength.
But you say a rod of iron. You say you're going to rule with
iron.
A rod of iron. Yeah. He's saying, if you overcome it, I'm going to give you power
power over the nation. And you're going to rule the nation with a rod of iron. Now, what that power and a rod of iron, what that mean?
Power is authority. Power is authority over the nation. And a rod of iron is the strength in which you rule it.
Like a case in point, like when you pull it over in the vehicle and they pull up to you in the uniform. And they say, step out the car. And you say, well, you say something. Then they reach down and start fun around with their power. So what is it doing? They first talk with authority about come out the car. Then all of a sudden they'll reach down with their right hand and start for doing something. What are they doing to subdue that person that won't follow what's said out the mouth? What is they doing, Al?
They're showing you the rule of authority, what they're ruling with, the power.
And what is their power they rule with?
Now, what they rule with is something physical that you know is going to do you damage.
And what are you talking about in 2:26 and 27? One more time, read that again.
Well, it's
2:26 and 20.
Okay, 26 says, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nation." 27, "He shall rule over them with the rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even if I receive it of my Father." The strength of rule, if you want to listen to it, we show you that which he ruleth with. Like
and,
that man
and,
that
and
over,
that rod of
he
iron,
you.
Yeah, and that rod of iron that he's saying, it also will break potters, and I don't know nobody got a voice that can do that, but I know a rod of iron can hit a pot and bust him all up in small pieces. Now, I don't know nobody's voice can do that. How about you, Al? Have you ever seen anybody's voice breaking things? Have you ever seen anybody's voice breaking things down by talking like that? But with that rod of mine, you can make that potter submit to you by busting them up. Same thing when you come out the car and you want to come out the car, they start using what it takes to get you out of the car. Is that right, Adam?
Yeah, they show you the instrument of physical force.
and you know that
it can break that. Yeah, same thing Almighty does with his word.
So is he telling the children of Israel, let me get another priest. Mother E, help me out in Zechariah 14:14. Let me get another priest. Let me get another priest up out of that. 14:14.
Zechariah 14:14.
Yeah, 14:14.
Okay.
Let's see if we analyze 14.
Let me get back there. Zechariah 14:14. Come on. Book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 14. "And Judah also shall fight at Jabbok Judah, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance."
about. So he's saying this is a future that one day, what Judah going to do in one day, mother, again, and a day to, in one of these days to come, what do the Bible said Judah going to do according to 14:14?
And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, and it appears in great abundance.
Hey, what is it talking about in that 14:14?
Okay, I was in another verse here. 14:14. Zechariah.
Yeah.
Somebody has sent me a text from Zechariah on another one and threw me off.
Okay, what is 14:14 talking about?
And Judah said also, 14 says, and Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem, God does. At the wealth of all peoples, okay? Around about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance.
What does that mean?
Okay, it looks like after Judah start fighting in Jerusalem, he's going to gather all the stuff around him of value in great abundance.
But How they gonna get it?
Well, usually they beat them up. That's what it said. Beat them up. They're gonna fight in Jerusalem, and all the wealth of the heathens, they're gonna take it.
So they're gonna have something to work with for the other nation to give to want to give back. The gold and the silver, you know right now, you just can't walk in no place and say, give me the gold and silver, right? Got to have something to work with, right? Yeah, Elder?
That's right. They get beat them up to work with.
So what have we read that it's a possibility going to be in their hand that we read in 149? So what got to be in their hand to tell someone that got gold and silver to give it up? So what they got, you think they can talk their way and get it? Think they going to talk their way and get the gold? They got to have something to work with. What think they working with?
Like you said,
according to
the voice,
huh?
The voice of authority and the instrument of convincing.
So they're going to have a voice of authority to tell them to give it up, but they are going to have something else. They like when they pull you over and say, look here, come out the car. That's the voice of authority. But if you decide to not come out the car, they will start looking at things to make you want to come out that car. Is that right, Elmer?
That's correct.
So that two-edged sword is something physically. Physically, he's going to put in the children of Israel's hand. Is that right? That's not
right.
The word is going to, with authority, you got to give back something you want taken away. Matter of fact, hey, mother, let's get a precept on that. What they're talking about that we can read. For the book of Joel, chapter 3. Let's go to Joel, mother. Get to go to Joel and see what will happen to make Judah gonna go and visit the place that got the gold and silver and to get it back. Let's go find out what'll happen that we can read by going to Joel chapter 3, verse 4, down to verse number 7. Joel chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, what it say?
Look at Joel chapter 3. Verse 4 to 7. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Philistine. Will ye render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Verse 5, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temple my goodly pleasant things. Verse 6, the children also of Judah and the children of Israel have ye sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them from thy border. Verse 7, behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head.
What are you talking about? So you see the reason why he gonna send it. You remember you said that the place was real beautiful. You seen all the good stuff up in there. Do you know one day that the Almighty gonna send the children of Israel in the places to do what? According to what we read. What are you going to send the children of Israel in all these luxury places to do what? According to what we read. Well, he's going to send the children of Israel, the peoples of Judah, in all these places where everybody's skinning and grinning, got the golden cup and all the fine things. He going to send them, the children of Judah, in there to reclaim the things that they once had. But what is they going to have with them besides their mouth, Elder? Hey, Elder, what the children of Israel going to have besides telling them that you here to we here to collect? What we going to be working with after we tell them the reason why we here, what we going to have to work with, Elder? Come out.
The same thing that the mafia have when they walk into your store and tell you they want everything. They show you their authority. Give it up. Not only you hear it, you fear it.
So they're gonna tell you with the mouth with the boys, but if they don't have anything else to bag up their boys, what they gonna have to bag up their boys when they say, give it up?
Well, like you say, just like that officer that pull you over, or somebody that come up to you and say, it's time to give it up, and they show you in their hand what they gonna do for you to give it up.
Yeah. Oh. So what we gonna find out on the way of find out something. The true things which the children of Israel gonna recapture back the gold and the silver that everybody's luxury places, they're going to recapture all of it back one day, and they're going to tell them to collect, but they're not only going to have a voice to tell them why they here to collect, they also going to have one in their hand that we can read so far, Elder, to make sure that come to pass. What are they going to be working with besides their mouth?
They're going to have the physical, visual indication of authority in their hand.
Hallelujah. Wow. Now, give me another precept, Elder, because I think you're going to stumble up on something, Elder. Back up to the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and pick it around by verse 11, and we'll read down to 16. Help those see out in Isaiah 45, verse 11. And then we're going to see do Mother C got any kind of commentary on take number 37. Let's see what it says in Isaiah 45. And we'll pick up at verse number 11 down to verse 15. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Come on.
Isaiah 45, verse 11. And you said bring it back to verse number 10. Did I understand you correctly?
No, take it out to verse 16. Take it down to verse 16.
Isaiah 45, verse 11 to verse number 16.
Well, hold on. Mother, hey, Mother E, help me the 49th chapter, verse 22 and 23 of Isaiah waiting on me. Come on. Come on, Elder.
45, 11 to 16. 11 says, thus says the Yahuwah, the righteous one of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command you me. 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. 13. I have raised him up in righteousness and I will direct all his ways. He shall build up my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Yahuwah. Verse 14. Thus says the Yahuwah, the labor of Egypt, Mizraim, and the merchandise of Ethiopia, and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee. They shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over. They shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahuwah is in thee, and there is none else. There is no Yahuwah. 15. Verily, thou art a Yahuwah that hidest thyself, O Yahuwah of Israel, to see. 16. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them, they shall go to confusion together, that they are the makers of idols.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 14 again, Elder.
14 says, thus says the Yahuwah, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, the men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come over after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahuwah is in thee, and there shall be none else. There is no Yahuwah.
I don't know how to break that down. I don't know. I'm smiling all over the place. What is he saying in verse 14? Remember we read over there, and the mother read in Joel about the sins of Ham. They don't want to take you into captivity, and they sold you to sons of Esau, and they took your gold. Everybody got your gold and silver. And he said, one day, all this stuff will come back to you. So can you help me out? What's going on with the dark nations now in verse 14? What will happen to the dark nations in 14 again now, Elder? Read verse 14 again and break it out for the national audience on what's going to happen to the other dark nations that played a part in selling the children of Israel. What's going to happen to them according to verse 14?
14 says, thus says the Yahuwah, the labor of Egypt, and the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee. They shall be thine. They shall come after thee, and chains they shall come over. They shall fall down unto thee. They shall make thy supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahuwah is in thee, and there is none else. There is no Yahuwah.
He don't say all that. And what's going on in verse 14? What's going on in 14 that gonna have them doing all that great talking about they gonna confess the true name and everything and say Yahweh is indeed. So what's going on making them change their mind about all them other names and what's really going on in verse 14? You on the clock, come on.
Well, we got a few different people here, Ethiopians, Sabines, and the merchants. What's happening is that they're going to bow down to you because of the power that they see in you and Yahweh.
Okay.
But they're going to bow down, realizing that there's none else except Yahweh. They see the power of Yahweh.
But they're going to be put into something, Elder, that we read. What they're going to be put
no,
in
they're gonna put,
to do all that
they're gonna
down
put in chains.
To verse 14. Being what?
They're going to be put in chains so that it will come over.
So
they're
where is
going to come over you?
But what I'm saying, words ain't going to get them in chains. How they going to get in chains, Elder? What do you think words can get a person in chains? For example, when handcuffs are put on you, you think words put handcuffs on you? What put handcuffs on you?
The power of your influence puts handcuffs on you. Like you said, that instrument of persuasion. Use that instrument of persuasion and beat the other nations down, and then they can come to you obeying you, seeing that you got the power. Ain't nobody else got the power except you, so they're going to follow.
Oh, so Yahweh gonna bless the children of Israel. So now we see that two-edged sword mean that two-edged sword is not the talk is over. When you put out that two-edged sword, it's like when they put out that the clip loose. They pull that clip loose. They talking is over then. So they done talked already and told you come on do right. But since you ain't moving quick enough, you start seeing that billy club come out. And that be the bitter club, and that holster had a little clip on it, that comes loose. So talk is over with it. You know how you gonna told them something, and you ain't getting nowhere with it. So that bitter club that they come with, little black little bitter club, and if that don't get you right, then that thing on the side that got the clip to it, that'll get you right. Is that right, Elmo?
That'll get right.
Is that right, Elmo? So that was saying one day the children of Israel are going to have that kind of power. Well, the voice of the true Israelite is doing his talking right now, but one day the talk going to be over. He's going to put in the hands of the voice of the true Israelite that power that make you want to hurry up and jump in them chains. Because the talking is going on right now. See, we're doing the talking right now about coming on 6 months a week. Talking, you know, and they paying us no never mind. But one day Yahweh said you're gonna be able to bring things back in remembrance because I'm gonna give you something to work with. So what are you gonna get the children of Israel to work with? Because the talking is going on right now, you know? We're doing the talking 6 nights a week. And we tell them that we know you got our silver and gold and you got our heaters and air conditioners, you got everything blown up. We're talking about it. But they ain't paying us no never mind. But then Almighty said, but one day you and already done the talking, he gonna give you something to work with. So he gonna give us something to work with. And what that was again to work with, hey Mother E, run back to that 149 of Psalms. And what are you gonna give us to work with again in 149 of Psalms again? Yeah, what are you gonna give us to work with, Mother? Well, we're talking now 6 nights a week. Yeah.
The book of Psalms, chapter 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of Yahweh be in thy mouth and a two-edged sword in thy hand.
Oh. So we're doing the high praise with the mouth now. Ain't that right, Mother?
by coming on 6 nights a week, ain't we? Ain't we talking now?
Right.
So we talking now.
I don't see that.
Well, Mother Z said, I don't see that. I don't see that. Well, we come on six nights a week, don't we, Mother Z? Hey, Mother Z, don't we come on 6 nights a week, and ain't we talking now?
I'm not talking.
We telling everybody to get right, because there's a new sheriff in town called the Boss of the Israelite, and we talking about it now? 6 nights a week? But all of a sudden, one day up the road, y'all, well, I don't say, okay, well, the talk is over with. I think y'all need something to enforce your talk. And what they're going to be again, in verse 6 again, Mother, we're going to be working with the six anointed camps, and one day to come in verse 6.
Let the high praises of Yahweh be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in thy hand.
To do what in the next verse?
The next verse.
Next verse 7. What?
The 7. To execute vengeance upon the nation, the 17 nations, and punish men upon the people.
Punish men of the people. Well, read another verse then.
Verse 8. To bind thy king with chains and their nobles with feathers.
Oh, what you got to say, Elder? Go ahead, Elder. Now, hold on. Elder got some questions. Go ahead, Elder.
Well, I didn't want to cut nobody off, but the questions that you're asking, I think a lot of these saints out south can validate that the teachings or the voices of the true Israelites supersede what they have to say. They visualize that this evening. Well, one person.
So,
now I gotta go back for step two. So they know.
You gotta do what?
Mm-hmm. I gotta go back again for step number two.
Oh, okay. All right, Mother, what's the next verse you got? We're gonna bring in Mother Z and see if she got any kind of comment or statement. So what you getting ready to read, Mother? You was reading that Isaiah 49:22-23. What does that say, Mother? Then we're going to bring in Mother Z.
Isaiah 49.
Yeah. Were you holding something from me in Isaiah 49 or something?
No, I thought I read all that. Isaiah 45:11.
No. Beyond said, give me 49. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mother Z.
Verse 22 and verse 23. Thus said Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring their sons and their own, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
And kings shall be their nursing father, and their queen, their nursing mother. They shall bow down to thee with their face towards the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. And thou shalt know that I am Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me.
My Elder, what is going on there, Elder? Elder, what's going on at verse 23? What's that? Break that verse down in verse 23, Elder. Hey, Elder. 49:2-3, what that say? What you're saying, Latter-day Saints, see, you have made your point. We're going to mute the elder for the rest of the broadcast. You have made your point. Well, you know, we like to sometimes, you know, run strips and take care of a little business. Okay, good enough. We have made our point. Mother Z, Travel Yahdah Judah, Yahqua Bidget F.C. Royal.
Yahqua bless and keep this here, Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahqua.
Hallelujah. You know, I remember a prayer that you make. You say, you use a prayer that otherwise, in so many words, bind thy enemy a little bit, you know. I forgot how you said that prayer. Can you recall that prayer that you brings to the table on some of the classes? I think it's Wisdom of Solomon 18, verse 7, somewhere in that area. Can you respond that to the national audience on some of the prayers that you put out there around national audience?
Let me see what you're talking about. I don't know where that verse is at. You're not talking about.
You can just paraphrase it. You remember you make a statement. I think it's coming from Wisdom Solomon, but you ain't got to bring it up. But you make about the enemy. Can you recall what you be saying in a prayer?
It is somewhere in the Wisdom of Solomon. I just be praying and I just say I pray for the destruction of our enemy. And I just say, destruction of our enemy, whether it be from the tribe of Israel or from the tribe of Esau, his five sons, or the other nation.
Yeah, right. Enemy don't have no color, right. Enemies don't have no color.
An
enemy can look dead like you. They can look like somebody else. An enemy is an enemy. Some of our deadest enemies is the one that look like us anyway. That's right. So some of the deadliest enemies is the one that can blend in with you. You know, sometimes you have your greatest enemy is when you go to any place and he looks dead like you or she looks dead like you. That can be your greatest enemy. So I understand what you're saying, Mother. So what you want to tell this national audience, but we close out shortly. Anything you want to put on the table for this national audience, take your time there, Mother Z. You're on the clock. Come on.
I'm going to read in Psalms chapter 49, starting at verse 1. Hear this, O ye people. Give ears, all ye inhabitants of the world. Verse 2. Bow low and high. Both low, verse 2, start that over. Both low and high, rich and poor together. Verse 3, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my mind shall be of understanding. Verse 4. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my darkness, I will open my dark saying upon the hearts, on their hearts. Verse 5. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heel shall compare me about? verse 6. They are they that trust in the their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of thy riches. Verse 7. None of these can, none of them can buy any means redeem his brother, neither give to Yahweh a ransom for him. Verse 8. For the redemption of thy soul is precious, and it ceases from evil. Verse 9. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. Verse 10. For he sees the wise, for he sees that wise man die likewise. The fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. They in their inward thoughts is that their houses should continue forever and their dwelling place to all generations that call their land after their own name. It's a pretty long verse, so I'm going to read 12. I don't know. Nevertheless, man being in honor abide not. He is like the beast that perishes. Verse 13. This thy way is thy folly. Yet they prosper. Approve their saying. Shalom. Verse 14. Like sheep that are laid in the grave, death shall feed
like sheep that are laid in the grave
freely. Feed on them, and the upright shall have
the dominion
over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave, from their dwelling. Verse 15. But Yahweh will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Shalom. Verse 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the honor of the house is increased. Verse 17. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His honor shall not descend after him. Verse 18. Though while he lives, he bless his soul, and man will perish. Praise you when they when thou doest well to himself. Verse 19, he shall go to the generation of his father. They shall never see light. Verse 20, man that is in honor and understand not is like the beast that perishes. Hallelujah.
We're going to bring our elder back in for his closing statement. Our elder, Mr. Tibbs, he... closing statements on take number 37. You're on the clock. Come out.
Hallelujah. Brother Seer, thank you for bringing me back to tonight's broadcast for a closing statement. Basically, I don't have anything other to say than stay in the word of Yahweh, because you never know how strong you are until you are faced with your verbal combat. And actually, there's not a combat. It's what I discovered today, rehearsing of a righteous act. And as long as you are within, you are in the word of Yahweh, as long as you're in that book. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That's right, law is in that book. But the series is unlocking the biblical mystery, the deep, dark secrets. We have to reveal some things, but you put us in a position to see things, then all of a sudden the scriptures will come back and start revealing some things to us. So that's what we have to do, because everybody proudly, they'll probably have some things going on, but you got a ministry in this time at Mother E. Hey, Mother E, what do it say that we can read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 down to verse 28? See, it's no accident on the thing that we see now, because we're seeing more spiritually now, and he'll bring a lesson out in that very same hour. In Matthew chapter 10, Mother E, what it says in verse 26 down to verse 28?
Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Verse 27. Verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speaketh you in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that peace upon the housetop. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Mm-hmm. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
So he says, make sure you fear him that is able to wake you back up and bind you back over again. So he says, nothing covered that will not be revealed. See, you know, a lot of people have covered up the children of Israel, and they have names like modern-day, latter-day saints. And we just revealed that that's talking about the children of Israel, the peoples of YHWH. So nothing covered is not going to be revealed sooner or later. And they said, if you're going to fear somebody, fear the one that can wake you back up and burn you over again. Let's get a precept on that, Mother, in the closing statement. Luke chapter 12, 1, 2, 3, in the closing statement, that Mother. Luke 12, 1, 2, and 3. Let's get a precept on that. So sometimes he put you in a position. Yeah, Luke 12, 1, 3. Now he put you in a position to see things and to come back and see, do they want to correct or wrong?
and make it right. See, sometimes you see things and say, that's wrong. But do you want to correct that and make it right? Then you're done your job. Because nothing covered is not going to be revealed. Luke 12, 1, 2, 3, and the closing statement of that Mother E. Ask him again on your part, that Mother Z, and I will. Come on.
Luke 12, chapter 1, 2, and 3, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trodden one upon another, he began to say unto his followers, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrites. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Verse 3, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear, in the closet, shall be proclaimed upon the housetop.
He said, all hypocrisy will be revealed. Everything that people been lying about and doing, sooner or later somebody gonna ask you, do you want to correct that wrong you got there, according to the scripture. Now, if you don't want to correct that wrong, that's up to you. But whatever been done in the dark, or hiding the true name of the children of Israel, the peoples of Yahweh, up under the Latter-day Saints and the church and the Roman Catholic Church and the WCC, World Council of Churches, is going to be revealed by voices of the true Israelites. All right, Mother, take your time and close it out, and we'll catch everybody tomorrow at 6 p.m. again. So, Mother, take your time and close it out on tape 37. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. I'm just going to read a couple of verses of Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, yet that seeketh the Yahweh. Look unto the rock which ye are huge, and unto the hole of the pit which ye are dug. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bared you. For I call him alone, and bless him, and increase him. Verse 3. For the Yahweh shall comfort thy Judah. He will comfort all her places, and he will make her wilderness like Edom, and her desert like the garden of the Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hallelujah.
All right, from our elder, from the young lion, from the mother, one thing about it, whatever covers going to be revealed. That's why I said we never know what we're going to say, but we're saying it now. The Almighty wants to do is say it. Keep talking about it. Keep talking about it. Keep on revealing the deep secrets. Reveal them. One day, the talk going to be over. The action going to start by Yahweh. So our job is just to come talk 6 nights a week and tell you one thing. The children of Israel, that's a polluted name called the Saints. We are the peoples of Yahweh. And it's our job is to lead, not follow. In all the golden places that's around the world, it will return back to the peoples of gold, the children of Israel.